to C3 Pathers. We're so glad you jumped on to our YouTube channel. We really believe that you'll have life. Jesus said life in all of its fullness will be yours. And that means you'll be loved, included, free, and equipped. So enjoy this message and we'll catch you afterwards. God bless.
Well, what's your favorite romance movie? Tell the person next to you. Who said Die Hard? What's your favorite romance movie? Tell the person next to you. All right, now tell me. Who's The Notebook? Yeah, you can go past The Notebook. What else is out there? Jurassic Park? Jerry Maguire. Sorry, hard of hearing. Jerry Maguire, The Notebook. What else have we got? What was that one? The Holiday. Yeah. Gone with the Wind. Pride, of course. Pride and Prejudice. That BBC version with Mr. Darcy is, who's that? Love Actually. These classics, aren't they? You know? Any Princess Bride people, like, you know, that's old. Was that one? You've watched that too many times, John. I'm concerned. Where's Penny? Lucky. Someone this morning in our team said Shrek. This, you know, Fiona and Shrek. Now I think, what's the basis of a really good love story? Yeah, right. Happily ever after. Absolutely. But to get to the happily ever after, there's what I call the gap. All right? There's always a problem. He lives there, she lives there. He's from this class, she's from this class. He's, you know, he's a dragon, a monster, a Shrek, and she's a human. You know, like there's a gap, isn't there? Do you notice that? You know, or they're separated by distance or time. You know, I think there's some movies, Time Traveler's Wife or something. They live in different kind of eras, you know. But there's always a gap. There's always something to overcome. And that's what a love story does. It paints him and her and then, but there's a separation. But they meet and they fall in love. But then there's something great to overcome. And then they've got to work it all out. And then there's the, you know, that's, and they end up happily ever after. The reason why that story resonates so powerfully with us is that that's the love story that we're in. It's this book is a love story. Did you know that? Above all else, it's God's creation of a beautiful space for his people, his bride, and the problem of separation from God and his people. And the continual reaching out of God and people, you know, we're trying to connect. And at the end, guess what? It's happily ever after. It really is. This really is an epic love story. It's incredible. And when you look at it like that, you look past what people perceive Christianity as, a set of rules, something to be afraid of. No, it's a love story. And in the middle of this, we find Isaiah, the great book. It's the greatest book. And in the middle of Isaiah, we find these amazing chapters we've been talking about and we'll keep talking about until you're all sick of it, which is Isaiah 40 to 66. You must read it and see it as a love story of a God who loves his people. And the context is, okay, God's people, as we talked about last week, just a 30-second summary, is that God's people are in Babylon, across the desert, disconnected from Jerusalem, where the presence of God lives, through their own making. You know, they've gone after other gods. It's like God created these people and made them and loved them, and then God said, the people said, no, we want different gods. It's like betrayal. It's like breaking a covenant, a marriage vow. No, we want to go after these gods. God says, well, until you learn to follow me, come over to Babylon. Stay there. And I'll reach out to you. That's what this book is about. That's where it's right there. But God starts speaking. God sends his prophets, his speakers, his messengers, and starts saying, hey, there's coming a time when I'm going to take you back and I'm going to deal with all the stuff and the situations. And it's God's heartbeat of love. His two little scriptures that talk about his heartbeat. The first one is a love story for his people. Listen to this, Isaiah 49, 13. He says to his people stuck in wilderness, he says, sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth, break forth, O mountains, into singing. What? He's telling the people, he's telling the mountains and the heavens to sing. Why? Because the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. Everybody else knows, the mountains know, the atmosphere knows, that God has comfort and love for his people. But Zion, God's people, said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. You see, people feel like God has forgotten them. God doesn't care about me. What would God know about me? I'm just stuck here. God has forgotten me, is what they say. But God says, can a woman forget her nursing child? That she have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are continually before me. I love the place of my dwelling, Jerusalem, Zion, and the people of God. He says, I love you so much. It's like I'm tattooed the name of my children on the palm of my hand, or driven a nail through it, even to say that I love you. God will not forget his people. And so he sends this message to overcome the gap, the separation, see? But it's not just his people, it's not just his tribe that he loves. Look at this in Isaiah 56. He says, and the foreigners, like all the non-Jews, all the people of all the nations around, anyone who joins themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants. Everyone who keeps the Sabbath, does not profane it, holds fast my covenant. So anyone who kind of joins himself to God's people, he says, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. So he's saying, I really love my own people, my tribe of Israel, but anyone who wants to come and worship, come. He says, come. I'm going to love all people. Verse 8 says, the Lord who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will yet gather others besides those. God is the great gatherer. This morning, I want you to know and feel the heartbeat of God for his people. Do you feel that? All people, not just church people, not just Christians, not just good people, all people. You got to catch the heartbeat of God, of love for all people. Now, that messes with our heads because we go, well, what about that person? That person's them. Well, I know what about this, but what about Hitler? You know what? All people. God's love and compassion is for all people. Like real love. Not just tolerating love. Not just, yeah, I'll put up with him. Yeah, she's all right. I mean, she's a bit out there, but look. No. A real heart of love and compassion for all people. You see that? This message is continually broadcast in this book of love. And how do you think God would like his people to respond? So this is the movie, right? This is the pining God after his people who have rejected him. Continually broadcasting, communicating love and hope and joy and frustration and reality. You know, you get a bit of both, but you feel the heartbeat. So what would God have his people respond in? And as you read through this chunk of scripture, you see all these verbs, these doing words. He says, well, this is how you could respond. Here it is. There's six of them I'm going to share this morning. The first thing he says to these people, he says, remember. Remember. Remember these things, O Jacob, Isaiah 44. For you are my servant. Remember, you're my people. I formed you. And you will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. He says, remember me. Remember that I'm here. Remember that I love you. Remember that I made you. And remember that there's actually nothing between us anymore. The gap has been overcome. Remember who I am. God says, remember, remember, remember. Remember what it used to be like. Can you picture the movie where there was a great love scene and then there's a separation and something happens and then there's this misty music and tearful. I remember back. God says, remember. Remember the love we shared. Don't forget that. And he says, if you remember, then seek me. Look for me. Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see, seek, he says, seek God. To those people stuck, disconnected from God, he says, if you've remembered me, now start seeking me. Like looking for me, searching for me. Again, the great love stories where someone says, right, I know they're living in the other side of the world, but I'm going to get on a boat and I'm going to seek him back. Off they go. Or some other crazy thing, you know, depending on your story. To win them back. So God says, seek me, remember me, and then start seeking me. Because you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. And then he says, assemble yourselves together. He says, don't just do it alone. Gather, gather. He says to these people, get together and do it together. Assemble, he says in Isaiah 48, all of you. And listen, who among you has declared these things? The Lord loves him. He shall perform his purpose on Babylon, and his arm shall be against the Chaldeans. He says, get together. Watch how I destroy the people who've kept you captive. Watch how I rescue you from Babylon. Come together. Come together. And in the great movies, isn't it the people who get together? It's like there's always friends, family who go, yeah, let's help you. Let's do it together. The tribe. Picture that? Who support the person who's trying to seek their lost love. The mates, the friends, the family. He says, do it together. And then he says, arise and shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It's like, I remembered, I've started seeking, I've started to get together. Now I've got to get up, arise. Ever told that if you're a parent and you've got kids in bed? Arise, it's a good word in the morning. Arise, shine, because it's 6:30 or it's 7 o'clock and your light has come and I've just opened the curtain. Parenting tip on the side. Arise, shine. He says, don't just sit there remembering. Get up. Like, recognize that your light has come. It's time. It's time. Let's go. Realize. Wake up. There's this wake up moment in the movies. What? Yes, go. And then the fifth one is go. Go out. Flee, Isaiah 48. Go out from Babylon. Flee from Chaldea, declare this with a shout of joy, proclaim it, send it out to the end of the earth, saying, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. Now, you've got to understand that they're here in Babylon, 70 years, stuck. Jerusalem's over here, the place that's been burnt down, destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar, 70, and they got there. This is the book of Daniel, right? They're here. God says, get out, flee. Just go, escape. And it's actually what happens. God's people leave and they're paid for it. It's an incredible journey back. But you've got to do something, you see. You've got to leave the current context that's trapping you. That's what God's telling his people. And the last one I see here is sing. It's good singing this morning, John. It's good to sing. Why sing? Well, it's full of joy. He says, Isaiah 51, sing, O barren one who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud. It's like even if you kind of, your life seems fruitless, sing, because it's going to get better. Sing, declare, celebrate. It's like the end credits roll. There's always great music at the end, isn't there? Feel good music, lots of bass, you know, just lots of good stuff as they roll through. There's joy coming. Sing. Even if you can't see it yet, sing. There's joy coming. That's what God is telling his people who are disconnected, stuck in a place they don't want to be, perhaps because of their own reason, their own fault, perhaps it's somebody else's. And God sends these messages. He says, don't just die there. Don't stay there. I love you too much. If you hear my voice of love for you this morning, start doing these things. Start remembering. Start seeking. Start assembling, rising, going, and singing. All these words together. I believe that word is not just for the people of the time. This book is a prophetic book. It speaks to generations and generations. Isaiah, he's a prophet. He's speaking the words of God to that generation, but also to our generation. You got to see this. You can't just interpret this historically. You need to understand the history. It'll help you. But don't just leave it there. What is that prophet saying today? You see, this is where it gets really exciting. This is why the scriptures come alive. A fascinating story. And if I was an historian only, I'd be wrapped up in this history. I love it. But I'm not an historian. When I read that, my heart beats a little faster because God is speaking to his people today. In fact, God only speaks to his people today, right now. Like he's already spoken to the past generations. And he will speak to his future generations. But in the present is the only time that God speaks. Right now. If you hear his voice, right now. You get that? The only time to respond to God is now. Whenever the now is. So listen to this now. I believe that God is speaking right around our region. Come back. I love you. You're mine. I made you. You're beautiful. You're incredible. Yeah, you're stuck. Yeah, your culture has trapped you down. The worldview is screwed. But I'm coming back. There are thousands of people in our region who are ready to come back. Thousands, tens of thousands, stuck in Babylon, in Bathurst, in Lithgow, in our region. Thousands. Thousands who just have no real way back because they feel stuck. Even Christians, disconnected. Oh, I don't even know if this is real anymore. I used to go to church. I don't know, you know, it's just easier not thinking about it. So I'm just going to work hard. Oh, it just gets so complex and, you know, and all those different denominations, you know, which one's right. I'm just going to quit church. I'm not sure if I even believe in God anymore. You know, like you know, life's pretty good without him. In Babylon, where everything's beautiful and rosy, and a bit of inflation here and there, but a few gas prices increasing. But, you know, we'll cope. I believe God is speaking to the people right around us right now. But who are the prophets? Who's going to speak for God in our generation? I've found that God uses people. I don't know why. I wouldn't choose people. Like, seriously? Would you choose you and me to be the messengers of this great hope? question God on that one personally. I'd send angels, you know, signs in the sky, dreams everywhere. But somehow, 99% of the message that God communicates in his book is through people, ordinary people, you and I kind of people. It's just God's way, and I'll cope with that. But what it means for us is that we are the prophets. We're the communicators of our day. But I've found that if you even mention the word evangelism in church, everybody does this. What? What word? Who are the evangelists? You mean I gotta open my mouth? You know what they say about churches these days? It's time. It's time for the return. If only there was a way to communicate to our people the good news of Jesus. And it's really good news. I know our world is kind of not that receptive right now to the things of God. I don't know if any world actually has been. I actually think this is our greatest opportunity. Our world is increasingly rejecting not just faith, but governments and, you know, authorities. It's a postmodern era of whatever I believe is the right thing. Just don't ask me to believe in something else. It's my personal view, thank you. And I'm just fine with that. But what if there was a way to communicate? What if there's a way that God's people could hear a voice of love? Well, you guessed it, there is. And we're scheming and planning, and we have a plan. The first thing, God's looking for messengers. And Isaiah himself was in the presence of God, hearing, this is Isaiah 6, hearing, who's going to go? Look, the angels, they're all talking. Who's going to go? Do you know what Isaiah says? I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will I go? Here I am. Send me. Isaiah didn't know what he was getting himself into. He said, yep. Ah, I'm in. Foolish Isaiah. Whenever you put your hand up. No, I'm just kidding. Like, amazing. He says, yes. Something in his heart goes, yes, me, now. But how? And if you and I hear that call this morning, often we say, you know, are you ready to be sent by God? And we go, I don't want to go to Africa. I don't want to go to South America in the tribes. You know, that's where we think God's going to send us. But I don't like the Amazon, you know, too many snakes. No. Would God send you to this city? Did God send you to this city? How can we be sent into here? All God wants is a yes. Let me share an idea. What if we invited the entire city to church? What if we printed 10,000 invitations for the 10,000 households in a city? Put them in every letterbox. What if only half of those actually made it into someone's living room? 5,000 people? What if only 10% of those people actually bothered to look at this and scan the QR code? And it'd still be 500 people who are curious about God. What if we put on a night, an open night, a welcome night, where you and I could invite our friends in on a Friday night, a mini church service? It's like an open night at school, you know, or a university or a workplace where you come and have a look at what we do. Come and see what church is like today. What if we had heaps of food and coffee and hot chocolate and just what we do on a Sunday, we just shrink it to an hour and invite the world? What if people could actually get a glimpse of who God is and try and bypass all the religious kind of connotations and things about church and experience the presence of God in a simple worship service? What if they could meet normal-looking people like you and I? Well, maybe you. And think, these Christians, they're not weird. They don't have three heads. They don't speak funny. Hello, brother. I'm glad you're here, brother. Sister, it's so good to see you. We don't do that, do we? Because it's weird. What if people would just walk and go, yeah, and the building has heating? Yeah, that's a bonus, yeah. Like, what if we could create? This is what we're planning. And I'm super excited. And I really believe that God is saying, return, return, return. What if we prayed into it? So here's a cunning plan, right? I think there's three parts to this, and I see these in Isaiah. The first thing is pray. Pray. Open eyes. Isaiah 42 says, open the eyes that are blind. Bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. The only thing that will open eyes is prayer. You've probably had conversations with your workmates, your neighbors, your family. Shut down. The only thing that will get through that is prayer. Start praying. What if we started praying for our friends and family? Well, let's do that. Here's something to stick in your Bible, your printed Bible that you read. What if you thought of five people? You go, what? I'm going to spend the next 3 weeks praying for this person to open their eyes. Don't talk to them yet. Just pray. Work colleagues, family, neighbors, just good people, the people of this city and beyond, praying for them. What if every day you just mention that, Jesus, can you open their eyes? Simple prayer. Start praying for them personally. What if we did that together as a church at the end of this month? What if we, here's a funny word, fasting. What if we added a bit of fasting to our prayer for a season, just 10 days, where we come together and pray and fast and believe for our friends to break spiritual bondage in their world, that their eyes would be open? That's the first thing. And that's what I commend you to do right now, is just to think, we'll have some time at the end of this. Who is that? Stick it in your Bible so it falls out. And then every day, or in your fridge or wherever is appropriate. Second thing is prepare. The whole of this is full of preparation. Like Isaiah 62, it says, go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Clear it of stones. Lift up a signal over the peoples. That's a sign, right? It says prepare. Like, what if we just rethought about church and made sure that the way into the community of church was easy? I don't know. Are there stumbling blocks? Are there rocks? Are there divots in people's roadway into church? Is it that we all speak weird? Brother, sister. That's a stumbling block. What if we, just all wear the same color clothes? What other barriers and the blockages that could stop people from coming? What if, and all of our teams are doing this, thinking about the before, the during, the after of an event, what would that look like? Prepare. Well, all of our teams are preparing. If you're on a team at church, you're preparing for this event, but every Sunday, every life group is like this. We prepare, And then we invite. Isaiah 40 says, go up on a high mountain. Get up on Mount Panorama and shout. No, don't do that. There's other ways. O Zion, herald of good news, lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Look at this. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are young. You see? What if we invited people to a place where they would experience the gentleness of God? That's what this is. That's what this is. We're going to print 10,000, distribute them. But some suburbs we're going to walk. Letterbox, letterbox. Oh, hello, someone at the letterbox. Here's a card for you, an invitation. What if some of us did that and then the rest of it we just distribute it through some other way, but actually print, give, invite, and then for our own context, our own family and friends, hey, we had a chat a few weeks ago. Are you curious about God? Here's just something. Would you like to come? No pressure, just if you're interested. That kind of language actually, yeah, okay, welcome. What's to lose? Good food. You might meet someone. You see? It's kind of sneaky, but it's preparing the way of the Lord. That's what I see in the scripture. See, God intentionally prepare the way. Can I get the musos to come up on stage? The practicalities of this is obviously distributing, but giving. It's actually going to cost us a bit of money. Probably in the realm of $1,500. I'm wondering if you'd like to partner with us in this. Could be $50, $100. That could go towards printing and distribution costs and doing a really good service. If you'd like to, no pressure. If you'd like to get involved in this, this offering goes straight to that fund so we can just cover those expenses. But it's also a way for you to be engaged in this. I think everyone can do something. Everyone can do something. Everyone can pray. We can all give. We can all walk. We can all invite. We can all be here on the 5th of August. Bookmark that date, Friday night. Be here. We're going to pack this place out with all kinds of things. And let's see if we can experience people coming back to Jesus who've been disconnected. Holy Spirit, why don't you just close your eyes for a moment? It's actually about people right now. Who are the people in your world who need to hear some good news? Who are the people who are stuck in Babylon, disconnected from the presence of God? Who is there? Who is there? People you've even tried to have conversations or prayed for. Maybe you've even damaged relationships because of it. Who is that? Just bring these faces to mind. And these are the people that you can write on. I'm praying for John and Susie and Cameron. There might be friends, there might be families, there might be colleagues. Bring them to mind. And then commit to praying for them. And when the time is right, towards the end of the month, invite them. Hey, we're having an open night at church. I'd love you to come and experience what we experience here. Holy Spirit, I am praying for the thousands of people in our city who are ready to return, but just don't know how. They just need to hear a voice. Lord Jesus, come. Lord Jesus, come. Lord Jesus, come. And just in the presence of God, you and God, respond to Isaiah 6, where God says, who is there? Who will go? Who will take this message of hope and love to the people around me? Because God is calling that. And you might just like to respond to him and say, yeah, I'll do that. Sure, sign me up. put my name down. Just you and God right now. Don't worry about being sent to a place you don't want to go. We're talking right now about your neighbors and your workmates. Just sneak your hand up in the presence of God and go, you know what? It's time. It's time. It's time to see a return. It's time to see the house of God increase in our day. It's time to see not just a pushback from the census data, but it's a time to actually turn this whole thing around and see real faith and real life and real joy. Not just nominal Christians, but people who are born again and fall in love with Jesus and his lives are transformed. That kind of faith. Beyond nominal Christianity, real, born again, Holy Spirit kind of faith that's contagious. And maybe you're here this morning and you're going, that's me now. I need to return to Jesus. And if that is you now, just raise your hand where you are. I'd love to pray for you and help you return to Jesus. Anyone? Start to see it. Let me just pray. Lord Jesus, come, stir our imaginations. Take us into your plan of salvation for every tribe, nation, and tongue, every people group, every suburb, every street. Give us a glimpse of your heartbeat for the people who are lost, hurting, and lonely. Help us find ways to connect them back to the house of God, back to the joy in life. Amen.
Hey, thanks for watching. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, or you can download our church app to keep up to date with what's going on. And of course, if you're in the Bathurst area, we'd love you to pop in and say hello.
Wonderful. See you soon.